This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
You can text the show at 71010 because you might have a question for this man. Toronto Mayor John Tory joins us as we roll into the weekend. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No, not too bad. You know, we're all in this together, Mr. Mayor. We're all trying to figure it out together, and we're just we're doing our part. We're actually going to even be here on Monday, so we're looking forward to that as well.
Well, I'll be at work too on Monday, so we'll join the club.
Yeah, well, I mean, you never stop. I mean, that's just part of who you are. It's in your DNA, even before all this. Let's start off with the decision to cancel a lot of the recreational programs and camps. I could hear it in your voice. That's never an easy decision to make. How did you get to it?
Well, I mean, the numbers, you know, you have to make a commitment. You can't wait till the day before, and the programs were to start in late June, and, you know, we had people to hire, we had things, you know, get organized, and so the numbers at the present time and the risk that is represented by having all these kids gathered together and so on was just something, and the current provincial order wouldn't allow for them anyway, so we took the prudent decision rather than having parents sit on edge and wait to say we were going to cancel them, and then we went on to say that we were really going to try hard to try and have some kind of an alternate program in place, not before mid-July. So we're working on that. It's being developed, and we really, really hope we can implement it based on improved health numbers and a change to the provincial order.
You know, we're also getting a lot of questions at 71010 today for whatever reason. It's interesting because these things kind of come in waves. I'm sure you get them at the office as well. You're like, okay, well, that wasn't something that was on my radar for today, but let's address it. One person writing, my family runs a summer business on Center Island and are anxiously waiting to hear whether or not they will have any season at all. Is there any update on that? I know the ferry is under federal jurisdiction, but is there any update there?
Well, we talked about it this morning because we were talking about it within the context. I asked the question, well, if, you know, the marinas are open, can people get over there? And they said, yes, the current ferry, which is the one ferry that operates towards Island where people live, you can take that ferry, runs every half hour, and you can then walk to any of the marinas. Because I thought it was kind of silly if the marinas were opening, there was no way to get there. So I, in the course of that discussion, I was reminded that there's a present federal restriction in place operating or requiring ferries to only operate at half load, as it were. But I was still told that we expect some relief on that and that we probably will start some ferry service fairly soon. But the thing that has to happen, I guess, concurrent with that is to open the washrooms and stuff over there. I mean, these are obviously the key parts to all this. It's a very big park, so you're not too worried about people being crowded in over there. So it's the ferries that can't be that crowded and all the rest. So I was told this morning that we're working on that, and that would be something that you'll probably hear some progress on, presuming the feds change those rules on the ferries and we can get everything open over there in a couple of weeks. That's my guess based on what I heard.
Also from 71010 this afternoon, guys, could you please ask the mayor if the Honda Indy will operate now that car racing is allowed?
Well, no, but based on today's decision that I announced, and I tell you, you get awfully tired of announcing bad news. I said that today. Moved on to sort of say, well, I had an announcement that I wasn't sure if it was good news or bad news, namely that the city council was going to meet again in June in person. I didn't know if that qualified as good or bad news. But back on the Honda Indy, again, the same thing was required. They had to have city permits and road closures and whatnot. And even though they had said they would try to run it without spectators, there was still the question of, for example, the pit crews. I mean, if we're still laboring under the same rules, which we have to assume for today we are, which is that, you know, you're not allowed to have more than five people and all that's associated with the car, you know, carrying out the car race. So what we did today was to withdraw those permits. That in effect, that means we canceled it. But we've left open with regard to some of those events, including the Taste of the Danforth as well and the Taste of Manila and some of the ones that people love, that they might want to reschedule them for some time later in the year, in the fall. So as of the moment, the Honda Indy will not be taking place.
The province has indicated that they're looking at the idea of at least reviewing the numbers when it comes to people gathering. You've said you want clearer criteria when it comes to moving on to stage two of reopening. What exactly are you looking for? And are you comfortable with all of this as to how it's broken down provincially? Because even when I hear the idea of going from 5 to 10 people in the gathering, it feels fast to me.
Well, it's funny you say that, because normally you're, I thought you were more, you know, sort of urging them on to do more, because 5 to 10 to me sounds like such a modest change, but I guess it does allow theoretically two households, for example, to, you know, meet together, which doesn't happen now. If you said to me, would I even see a slightly higher number? Yes, I could, but I think the real key here is that all of us have to know, and as I said to you yesterday, I am going to focus more of my attention on the second stage, because we now know what's in the first stage. There's nothing about it that causes me to, you know, immediately worry that there's going to be some huge crowd scene in Toronto that's going to be caused, and that's what I'm worried about, is the spread of the virus. And so, you know, whatever number they pick is a number that's going to be better than the 5 in the context of families and friends getting together. But my concern about stage 2 is simply that we need to know, when you ask me what criteria am I looking for, I'm not the health expert, but I would have thought their medical officer of health working with ours would say, okay, we want the case count to go from here to here. We want the number of people hospitalized to go from here to here. They have this R factor, which is how many people is everybody who gets it passing it on to, and in the Maritimes, for example, that is at 0. We're at about 0.9, so we're passing it on to slightly less than one person each for everybody that gets it, and you've got to get that number down. But whether those are the right numbers or not, I think it should be clearly understood by the public, the media, and all the people involved in government, what are the factors we're going to look at, and right now nobody knows. It's just kind of based on, I'm not sure exactly how they decide.
So it was, where's the lack of transparency coming from? Is it on their end of things?
Well, I mean, the province is the one making the big decisions about lifting orders and having their staged process, which I strongly support. I think that staged framework was exactly the right thing to do. I think stage 1 worked out okay. I could issue a few concerns about the fact we were told the night before about libraries offering, pickup and curbside service. And I don't think they think sometimes about the fact in Toronto we have 100 libraries. You know, in Pembroke or in, you know, someplace like that, they have 1 or 2. Or I don't know, maybe they have 3. But we have 100. We have 40,000 books right now on hold for people, so there's 40,000 people going to call us the day the curbside's available and say, can I come pick up my book? And so it takes a lot of planning to do that, and we'll do the planning, but we found out about that the night before last. So, it really is the province that gets to make most of these decisions, and I'm not complaining about that either. I'm just saying I think we should all understand the criteria. There should be huge consultation on what's in phase 2, because it's going to be big. I have to concern myself, as you know from previous discussions, about, say, the transit system, and unless you know how many people are going back to work, you have a hard time planning for the transit. And so it all fits together.
Yesterday, we asked you your biggest frustration thus far, and you quickly pointed out the homeless situation in Toronto. The fire chief today saying there's been 55 encampment fires this year already. In one of them, someone died, talking about tearing down a camp, 100 liters of gasoline. They're taking out propane tanks, tearing down that encampment. They're meeting resistance, some people going into hotels. Do you want to comment on what the fire chief was saying today?
Well, he was certainly merely pointing out with numbers that this is a major safety problem from the standpoint of fire safety, and that's proven by the number of fires. It's proven by the propane tanks. It's proven by a man dying in one of those fires. But he was also pointing out that there's also a public health problem. You've got these people living in very close proximity. And if we weren't going down there and doing anything and just saying, well, you know, you can't live in these tents anymore, we go down there, we give 14 days notice, and we counsel every one of those people and provide them with a housing option. And some of them refuse those options, but we provide them with a housing option. And once the camps are emptied out, then we dismantle them. And that's what happened today. There was one that was emptied out, and people had been taken off to various different housing options. And so, you know, we just can't continue to have this these safety and public health problems when, in fact, you know, shelters and housing, which we're working really hard on, are the answer, not tents.
Knowing that the area under the Gardiner Expressway, for whatever reason, is attractive to people who are transient, who are homeless, for them to build these encampments, is there anything that we can do to make sure that they don't come back, that these encampments aren't built once and for all?
Well, I mean, it's a big city, so the problem is if you did that, say that particular area, which I understand exactly what you're saying, because it kind of goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back. But the trouble is there's 1,000 other places in the city. If you fence that off or built a concrete wall, for that matter, they go somewhere else. And so I think the real key is what we're trying to do, which is to have more housing. I acknowledge that, and we're building more affordable housing right now than any time in the city's history. But in the meantime, it cannot be the case that tent encampments are going to represent the answer, or that people, when there's massive safety and health risks involved, can, you know, protest the fact that we are offering other housing options and then nonetheless say they're going to sort of fill those camps back up as fast as they're emptied. So it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can tell. Now, you know, listen, I don't know if you heard it earlier, but I did give you full credit for this. Is one of the things that's in your bonnet. It has been since you were running for the job. You're very passionate about it, and you deserve credit for it.
Well, we're trying to look. It's not just credit for dismantling the encampments. I mean, you'd like not to have to do that, but we are building more affordable housing, and we're going to tackle the supportive housing for people with mental illness and so on. But we're doing more than in the city's history. But it takes time to build the buildings, and they're being built. But it just takes time. And in the meantime, we have other arrangements for people. And nobody is told, well, too bad for you, sleep on the street. Nobody. But they're given options, and we work hard at that. But it's just frustrating because, and there's a certain political statement element to the camps as well, and that's a different subject for another day.
Mr. Mayor, we appreciate it. We hope you have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend too, guys. Thanks a lot.
There you go, Toronto Mayor John Tory. He will be on with us on Monday at the same time. Probably just a little bit earlier, just around 5:30 on Monday afternoon, Victoria Day. We will be here live from 3 until 6 o'clock.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.